Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero.
Good morning, Anita Romero.
Tobias and Sarah.
Yes, it's wonderful to be here again.
We're going
to
do a prayer over our computer. If you've never heard of that, it's a beautiful prayer written by an exorcist, Father Monsignor Rossetti. And sometimes demons start interfering not only with your marriage and your kids and your household, but also with your computer.
Absolutely.
So we're going to pray this together because these they never stop. They're always doing a full court press. So we'll pray in the name of the Father, Father Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So pray over your computer. Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign King, enthroned in heaven, in your love and mercy, establish a perimeter of protection with your precious blood
around our
communication devices and all technology used during this session. The cameras or webcams, microphones, speakers, displays, any and all software, Wi-Fi connections in the air, both my router and the router of VNPR, and anyone assisting the octave cables involved in the transmission of data, and the light waves being used to transfer data. Cleanse them with your precious blood and drive them from any satanic influence. Establish around them a sanctuary of your mercy where Satan and any other evil spirit or human agency cannot interfere. I ask, Father, that you would block, bind, rebuke, and render impotent any assault of the evil one from them in any way. Father, so long as these instruments are utilized in this ministry of divine mercy, we ask you to allow them to enjoy the protection of the Blessed Mother, St. Michael the Archangel, and all the holy angels. We ask this in your most holy name, the name before which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And we'll do one Hail Mary.
That's a beautiful prayer.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
We'll do it in Latin.
Yes.
Ave Maria,
gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in la mortis nostrae. Amen.
Two more times. Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in la mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm sorry for that. I just got emotional. Saying the Hail Mary, I'm just thinking of all the people that are going through struggles, and it just, you know, family members, friends. And every day there's always something coming up in our world that just hits home. And, you know, I know praying and just pleading to our Blessed Mother that she's the one to always go to. And it just hit me. And I'm good now.
Okay, babe, we're going to try to give people a faith lift, not a facelift.
Yes.
I know I'm 60. And counting.
We're both 60.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about a facelift, okay? I'm more worried about a faith lift. And we want to talk about what the Bible says about healing.
Yes.
Again, but we don't also want to, have some type of utopian show like God's going to heal everybody. That will happen eventually at the end of time. But the most important thing that we're always talking about when we talk to people is the healing of the what?
Of the soul.
Yes.
Healing of the soul. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. We're always asking for healing. So when we pray, the most important thing you want is healing of the soul. The body is secondary because one day you will not be here. The body's dying. Every day from the point of conception, your body is dying. Remember that.
And it just, I remembered that part of Holy Mass right before you receive Holy Communion. We actually say that, what you just said right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Yep.
So, although we know Jesus heals the body, it's all over the Bible.
Yes.
But I think we have to really strive for, more importantly, healing the soul. So, this is a good article. It's called Biblical Healing, and we want to share it with you.
Yeah, we want to share it with you, and it comes from CatholicBible101.com. So, So does the Bible talk about healing us of our physical ailments as well as our mental and spiritual ailments? Yes, it surely does. For sure, Jesus cured people, and he then told them that their own faith had healed them. So how does this work for us today? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. You can find that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And that would mean hearing the Word of God.
And let's not forget that the Word of God comes to us from the Bible, but also from tradition.
Yeah, absolutely.
The tradition is called the Rhema. Yeah.
After all, the people who listened to Jesus and obeyed him were healed, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. So there you go. You have Jesus is the Word made flesh.
And I'll tell you,
the Word of God.
And some people will say, well, if Jesus healed pretty much everybody that came up to him, mm-hmm. we should be able to do the same thing. There's a difference here. First of all, we're not Jesus.
Yep.
And so God can use human beings to heal other people through prayer. But Jesus Christ was performing these miracles specifically at that time, 2,000 years ago, to establish his messianic credentials that he was a unique son of God amongst an unbelieving Israelite mm-hmm. population. Mm-hmm. And so this is why he was manifesting these miracles and power and exorcisms to basically let them know, I am here, I have arrived. Mm-hmm. So, because sometimes people take the life of Christ and say, well, I guess I should be able to heal everybody. You're not Jesus, first of all.
Nope.
And God will, use us every now and then to effect healing. But his, like we said, the most important thing is the healing of the what?
Of the soul. And it's going to be his will be done. Yeah. Remember that. That's the
not my will be done.
Not my will. But obviously, we want to live longer. We want to. But we also, it's his will. His will. Always remember that. That's why we say the Our Father every day, just to remind of your will, not mine.
And sometimes his will is that we suffer.
That suffer, absolutely.
And that's what Catholics understand. Yep. And I'm not to pick on the Protestant, Pentecostals, health and welfare, you know, name it and claim it. Mm-hmm. That's something that it's gone over their head.
Right.
It's something that as Catholics, we'll talk about it later on, maybe in the third and fourth segment. This is part of our purification.
Right. So we continue. But hearing means more than just occasionally reading and listening to the Bible and then not amending our lives accordingly. It means that we have to internalize the Word of God in all that we think, do, and say. It means meditating on the Word of God and then observing all that it says to do.
Mm.
So it seems
that's
that,
the hard part.
Yeah, right. We have to put into action. It's action.
Yeah.
It means,
and that'll take the rest of our life.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get
it's
that
a,
right.
It's a daily decision every day to act. Act on the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Act on it. It seems that the Word of God is more than just a rule book for clean living. Rather, by obeying what it says to do, it is also God's health guide for all of us. And if we don't ever pick up the Bible to read and study it, there is no way that we will ever know all that it commands us for us to do. For instance, God says in the book of Joshua the following. I just want to mention something. You know, you got to pick up the Bible. Okay, some of us can't be carrying our Bible all over the place, but you got your phone.
Yeah.
You can read the daily mass readings every day, the church. You can read the Bible in 3 years if you read the Bible every day according to the Catholic Church. The scriptures are laid out for you. You got the gospel, the first reading, and the responsorial psalm during the week. And obviously on Sunday you have two readings and you have the gospel reading and the responsorial psalm. So there's no excuse. Get the Word of God in you.
By the way, this is old Catholic teaching what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about Saint Jerome back 1,600 years ago. He says, and it's in the catechism, he says, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. So this isn't like something that Protestants came up with.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that the church fathers have been talking about, the importance of reading the Word of God and getting the Word of God into your soul.
Yeah. Remember, it's our book.
It's our
book.
There you go. Bingo.
Why aren't we reading our book?
Yes.
The Protestants
we
have
know
found a treasure and they're taking and running with it. Let's chase after them and grab it and run ahead of them.
We need
because
to know our
we
book
have
they
our
do.
Book. We need, it's our book, and we have the sacraments. We got the truth, so we should be in the front. They should be chasing us for the truth.
That's right. And by the way, Anita, there's this verse. We named our first son after this great prophet in the Old Testament, but it talks about the importance of reading scripture.
Yeah, it's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. That's from
Joshua.
That's
exactly what we're saying, our son, Joshua.
Our third born.
Yeah. Here's what jumps out at me from that verse. Meditate on it day and night.
Yeah, meditate.
Meditate. Mm-hmm. It means ponder it, think on it, reflect on it. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's what we have, the church Jesus Lexo Divina. That's what that is. You read a scripture verse, read it over three times, and then meditate on it. You know, what is the Lord telling me? Why am I reading the scripture verse? And, you know, we have the scripture verses are there every day.
Yeah, because there's a message for us.
There's a message for all of us. And it's spiritual growth. That's spiritual nourishment.
Yeah, don't say, Joshua was writing to the Israelites. No.
He's writing to you.
To you, right now.
To me, to Jesse.
That's called the spiritual sense of scripture.
Yes.
There's another, the psalmist also talks a lot about meditation, in the book of Psalms.
Yeah, the book of Psalms, a similar command from God and his people to meditate in his word day and night is repeated. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, blessed
You have to hold that thought because our first segment is done.
Our first segment is done. And we got...
talking about the importance of reading the Bible as Catholics.
Reading the Bible and through healing, how we can heal.
It'll heal the mind and heal the soul.
Yeah. And here comes our Mother Mary. Ora por nobis, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Feast day of St. Bridget of Sweden, pray for us.
Yes, we're back.
Talking about the importance of reading the Bible for healing.
Yes,
I'll tell you what type of healing it provides. Emotional healing, spiritual healing, and reading the Bible is going to lead you to the sacraments, which will heal the soul. You can't be reading the Holy Bible without leading it to the sacraments, because the Bible is like the menu, the sacraments are the meal.
Right.
So reading scripture is going to lead you to the sacraments, and that's where the healing of the soul comes from.
Yeah, and we've mentioned it before. It's your daily nourishment, your spiritual nourishment. We nourish ourselves every day by having breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and anything in between. But we also have to nourish ourselves with the Word of God. The Word of God is the most important, more important than food and water. Word of God is the essence of why we exist, because God exists in us if we allow him, if we invite him to.
Yes, because you can kick him out through mortal sin.
Absolutely.
Unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sins. Yep. Says God, get out. That's what happens theologically.
Right.
Let me look at the psalmist here. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Yes. Again, the power of meditation. Father Ripperger says, I don't know one person who's ever been possessed in 15 years that meditates on the Word of God. Father Ripperger, okay? Yeah. Not one person, he goes, in 15 years of being an exorcist that I know has become possessed who meditates on the Word of God.
Yeah, because we know that meditating on the Word of God drives away demons. We are driving
away demons.
Saint
Isaac of Syria, it's in my book.
We are running roughshod.
Yes.
And, the bullets are hitting them.
That's right.
The prayer bullets.
It's an offensive weapon. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who scoffs not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Notice that the psalm here says that God blesses the righteous but chastises the wicked. In other words, sin has consequences in this life and in the next.
Yeah. And the Gospel of John tells us what we need to do to get our prayers answered. And that is internalizing and obeying the Word of God. It's not just only reading it, but internalizing. What does that mean? To bring the Word of God into your life, into your heart, and in your faith walk. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to have, this verse is going to come to life because in our fourth segment, we got a guest who's going to be calling in, who's going to share a praise report, and you're going to see this is exactly what she followed, the prescriptions of John 15, verse 7. Do you want to stick around for the fourth segment? We got a powerful praise report.
Yes, we do.
Now, Jesus just didn't come to take away our sins. He also came to take away our physical ailments as well. Eventually, all of us, our bodies are going to be healed at the eschaton, at the second coming. All the glory, those in a state of grace, their bodies will be fully healed. And he showed some of that in his earthly ministry, what's going to happen at the end of time to everybody. In Matthew 8, 16 to 17, it says, that evening they brought to him, our Lord, many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our offenses, close quote. Now, this is not promised to everybody right now, okay, because we're all eventually going to die. Mm-hmm. But our Lord performed these specific miracles to establish, as I said, mm-hmm. his credentials as the Messiah and unique Son of God in the first century to the Israelites who were awaiting the Messiah. And for those that were kind of tepid in faith, mm-hmm. the miracles demonstrated that he is who he mm-hmm. says he is.
Yeah. And Isaiah tells us that by his stripes we are healed, quote unquote. So meditating on the passion of the Christ, either through the rosary, looking at a crucifix, or doing the Stations of the Cross through meditation, or by watching the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is good medicine for what ails us. So when we're, you know, when we're sick, like for example, I had...
But today's the Sorrowful Mysteries.
Yes. So you can meditate on
I did them this morning, probably imperfectly, but I did them. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the Stations of the Cross also on Fridays. You know, that's a devotion that is lost. Many people are not doing that on Fridays. We should continue doing that, even though it's not Lent, the Stations of the Cross. So St. Matilde and St. Catherine of Siena have all revealed that those who meditate on our Lord's Passion are very dear to him. Jesus revealed to St. Albert the Great.
Professor of St. Thomas Aquinas.
Wow. He's up there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm sure he's right next to them.
Oh,
next
yeah.
to them.
Yeah.
That he was more pleased if we meditate on his passion and death for 15 minutes than if we were to fast on bread and water every Friday for a year. Wow. If we... See,
say
let me
that
read
again.
That again.
Say, yeah, it just blew my socks off here.
Jesus revealed to St. Albert the Great...
Professor of St. Thomas Aquinas...
that he was more pleased if we meditate on his passion and death for 15 minutes...
The rosary.
Than
the rosary.
If we were to fast on bread and water every day for a year.
Every Friday.
Every Friday for a year. Wow. See how efficacious it is?
The rosary. The rosary.
All the sorrowful mysteries. Yeah. That's what you meditate, the sorrowful mysteries and the Dolor Rosary. That's on the Passion of Christ.
Because that's so honest. Mm-hmm. All of us are going through the Passion of Christ. And my wife, in the beginning of the show, she was weeping for so many people that we know right now that are struggling in their marriages with their children. It got to her.
Yeah, it got to me today.
Because she's on the phone all the time with them and counseling them and praying with them and encouraging them. But sometimes it just is overwhelming. You're saying...
And you need help. I'm calling SOS, Mother Mary, help me. Yeah. And that helped me. Praying with all of you, because I know all of you were also praying with both of us. So that always means more, you know. Where one or two are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst.
That's right.
Yeah.
Isaiah 53, verse 5, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. With his stripes we are healed. Amen.
Yeah.
Now this is talking about Christ's death on the cross for us, that the atonement of the atoning death of Christ for us. Mm-hmm. But again, I think I would argue that the primary healing that our Lord wants for us here and now is the healing of our soul, that we walk and live in a state of grace.
Yeah, because that's eternal.
Yes.
Our soul is eternal. Our bodies are not.
Yeah.
Our bodies are decaying. Like I mentioned, every day our body is dying. But our soul will never die. Yeah. It's going to go to eternity. And you determine whether you have Jesus, you invite Jesus in, or you don't.
And of course,
you have free will.
And the good part about being a Catholic Christian is that we know that we're going to get new bodies at the end of time. That's amazing. But right now, you know, you're going to have to be happy with your body that's falling apart. Mm-hmm. As long as we live in a state of grace, the healing of our soul, that's what's most important. But again, in the Bible, obviously, without a doubt, and even now, in the last 2,000 years, mm-hmm. you're going to hear in the fourth segment about somebody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes God intervenes in human nature. We call that a miracle. And he shows his mighty power and miraculously heals mm-hmm. a person of an illness. He'll do it now, even now in 2021, just to show his glory, just to show that, again, I'm here, I'm listening to you, I'm giving you a little drink of water, but don't think I'm going to heal the whole world. That's not what the gospel's all about.
No.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to accept his will, whatever it is.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the power that we receive in baptism, Anita.
Yeah, in baptism. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Close quote.
Close quote. This verse is generally applied to the sacrament of confirmation in the Catholic Church, and the sacrament of confirmation completes baptism. Just remember, for those that have been confirmed, you completed your baptism. In other words, you said yes yourself. Well, baptism, your godparents were there, and they said yes for you. But now, through confirmation, you have solidified that sacrament. He says, I will follow you, Jesus. I will be your witness, whether it be white martyrdom or red martyrdom. I will be your witness.
Anita, let me give an example of somebody that was the witness of Christ. If you can share St. Bridget of Sweden today, she's a saint of the day. And again, all these saints, you think they had it easy? Just listen to St. Bridget of Sweden, a little bit, a snippet of her life.
Okay. St. Bridget of Sweden, a native of Finsta in the upland region of Sweden, Bridget married at the age of 13 and bore 8 children. After 28 years of happy marriage, Bridget's husband died, and she moved to Rome. Devoting herself to prayer and frequent pilgrimage to holy sites, Bridget's vivid mystical revelations were both tender, as when she taught movingly on the life of Mary and severe. She famously admonished the Pope to return to Rome from his exile in Avignon. In 1370, she received approval for the order of the Most Holy Savior, a monastic community of men and women. She died in 1373.
So in case you thought you had it tough, how'd you like to be 28 years old and a widow with 8 kids?
Wow. That is on your own.
With no retirement, no social security.
And trying to find how to feed them every day. It's that could be a challenge.
Yeah.
So some of you women think you have it bad. Think about St. Bridget, in those days, I mean, where you have no washing machines, you have no electricity.
If you don't work, you don't eat in those days.
Absolutely.
It's not like here where we're getting flooded with Biden federal money and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. let's look at the book of Proverbs, Anita. This one talks a lot about healing. Mm-hmm. There's this one passage, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. That's everything in the faith. Keep it within your heart.
Yeah.
For they are life to him who finds them and healing to all his flesh.
Yeah, there you said it's, you know, keeping the word of God in your eyes, your ears, and your heart. Three of your senses. Those are the three of your senses.
And it brings healing to you.
Right.
You know, and again, most important, we're talking about the healing of the soul. Again, there's another passage in Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, when I confess my sins not, my body wasted away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because of a life of mortal sin and the consequences, you're not only destroying the soul through mortal sin, you're also destroying the body. Look at all the people we know that are drug addicts, mm-hmm. you know, alcoholics, living lives of prostitution, mm-hmm. And just destroying their body by just embracing disordered appetites and passions. Mm-hmm. Again, What you do with your body affects your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, it says, make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Oh, your end of the second segment, going into the third with the bottom of the hour.
Mother of the Savior.
Yes. Ora por nobis.
Mater Dei.
You,
my wife's Mother license Mary. Plate. Hey, St. Didicus, we'll see you this afternoon or tomorrow. St. Didicus in Sylmore, California. Month of July, the month of the precious blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, cover us and our children and our offspring with your precious blood. We're talking about healing with the Bible. The Bible, we can go on 10 hours on this topic, but there's also another mention of personal healing in the Bible, which involves praying for others. And not just for you and your immediate family, praying to save poor sinners from hell who don't even know that there's a great way to know God and to show them the love of God. Intercessory prayer is basically not just thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. We would call that selfless intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Bishop Sheen, he gave some advice. He says that for those people that are always thinking about themselves, I got anxiety, I got depression, I got scrupulosity, me. Archbishop Sheen says, stop thinking about yourself and start thinking and praying and doing for others. That's the cure.
Mother Angelica said the same thing, yeah. But I think she got it from Bishop Sheen because this was on one of the shows. Darn it, stop thinking about yourself. Start praying for others.
Yes, and that's what happens.
That was classic. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, because too many of us just get enveloped in our own little me.
It's my selfish desire. Oh. What do I want? Nobody's listening to me, and I'm the victim.
And I'll tell you what,
the Democrats have a lot.
Yeah, I think they have.
They have that in common. The victim.
Yeah, the victocrat mentality.
Yes.
Anita, there's a verse that talks about the intercessory prayer.
Yeah, one of my favorite books, the Book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect. So in other words, the closer you are to God, the more meritorious and efficacious are your prayers. Remember, it says there, he says, confess your sins. That means to go to a presbyter.
Yeah, because we know that because in verse 14 of James chapter 5, it says, Go to the presbyters to get anointed.
And that's our priest. Go to confession. Yeah,
yeah. Presbyter is the long way of saying priest. Priest is an abbreviation of presbyter.
Yeah.
So verse 16, it refers to verse 14.
Right.
You go to the presbyters to confess your sins.
Yeah, and that's where their energumens, you know, those that are
possessed.
They're required to go to confession.
Weekly,
so
a good exorcist will tell them to go weekly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's important to remember that the devil can afflict us with pain. That's called diabolical oppression. Mm-hmm. And part of the horror of sin is that the after effects of our sins can make us physically sick. Mm-hmm. We know a lot of people that are physically sick as a result of their personal sins, bad decisions, because the devil gets control over our lives every time we sin. You kind of like surrender yourself to him, and he loves to see us suffer. Case in point, in Luke 13:11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself out. She was diabolically oppressed by a demon for 18 years. The Bible doesn't say why, if this was familial or this was personal sin. It doesn't say why. And there's also, Anita,
I wanted to mention something. The devil likes to see us suffer because he wants to eventually get us to the point where we're going to grab our
perpetually.
Fists. Yeah, grab our fists and shun it at God and say, I don't believe in you. You are
because
not
I'm
helping
suffering.
Me because I'm suffering.
Yeah.
So that's his end game, is for you to turn away from
Drive
God.
Drive us to despair.
Drive us to despair, absolutely.
That's it.
And there's many people that get driven to despair and they end up hurting themselves. We've known that.
Yeah. Now, there's a Bible verse that talks about the role of a physician, not an abortion doctor, a good physician,
yeah.
pharmacist as well. It's too long. You may want to read it. It's in Sirach chapter 38, verses 1 to 23. It talks about that paragraph about the fact that God uses physicians. God uses, in fact, drugs as well. Of course, FDA approved.
Right, right.
And so it talks about the fact that God heals all through physicians and all through medicine. Mm-hmm. That's in Sirach 38, yeah. Verses 1 to 23. It's a powerful passage. I would recommend that every one of us read it.
And as a matter of fact, St. Luke, he's the patron saint of physicians. So whenever you go to a doctor, you say, okay, you know, St. Luke, just pour the wisdom on this doctor that's treating him. Yeah. Give him the wisdom to make the right decisions, and then give me the wisdom to say, yes, I want to go forth with your recommendation. But it's never, it always, you know, you want to put your hands in the Lord and put your physician's hands in the arms of the Lord so the Lord can use him,
yes,
for healing.
That's right. Yeah, so Sirach 38, I'll just give you a narrative, yeah, basically. It talks about the healing power of doctors and medicine. Mm-hmm. And if you read that whole paragraph, Sirach 38, 1 to 23, it also mentions the power of prayer. So like my wife said, so praying for the efficacy of the drugs before you take them. Mm-hmm. I never realized that Dr. Mm-hmm. Dan Schneider and Kyle Clement says, before you're taking medication, pray over your medication. I said, well, I never thought about that. Okay, yeah. But it actually comes from Sirach 38. And also, like my wife said, pray for the doctor to diagnose you properly. You can say a quick, mm-hmm, short arrow prayer under your breath. He won't hear it. And pray for the doctor who's about to perform surgery, mm-hmm, as well.
Yeah.
That
and
God would give him. Yeah.
Everything that everybody that has to do with helping you at that moment.
Absolutely.
In time. Yes.
So that God will give them the healing power.
Yeah.
You know, and he can heal them through this doctor and through this medication that you're taking.
Right. And remember, they don't have to be Catholic if you're praying for them. It's best to pray for those that are not Catholic.
Yeah.
So then they have signal graces, you know, that maybe they might, whoa, you know what? God is real and I haven't given him his due.
That's right. And by the way, in the next segment, we got a friend calling in, the fourth segment.
Yes, her name is Alvia Escobar, and she's going to share of her with us her witness on her conversion and things that have been happening in her life since her conversion. I don't want to give it all.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a true miracle.
Yes, she opened her heart to Christ, reconverted back to Jesus and the Catholic faith. She loves Jesus.
Yep.
And then kind of something tragic kind of happened. She's going to tell you about it.
Yeah, she's going to
tell
you.
And then something beautiful happened after that.
Right.
So
right. She has like about four to five steps
yeah,
in that she's going to give us in the last segment. It's just going to be, riveting and
inspirational, uplifting. Yes.
Absolutely.
Because it goes to show you that God came into her life at a time when he knew that she would need it more than ever.
And not only that, those around her that needed it also, I'm sure.
Yeah, because we know her and we know those around her. She's had an effect on a lot of people. When, mm-hmm, somebody in the family opens their heart to Jesus and becomes a real Catholic, mm-hmm, Christian, not a fake Catholic,
yep,
like Alvia, and they really say, this is it. I'm going to live for you. Mm-hmm. And live in a state of grace and be a prayer warrior, mm-hmm, you have an effect on other people around,
yeah,
you.
And that's why we chose this this topic on healing, because we wanted to share her faith walk and her testimony on where she's at today.
That's
after,
right.
From the time of her conversion to our today. And we can't wait.
You said something important about, we have to ultimately always remember that it's God's will be done.
Right. His,
you know,
will be done.
If you could just kind of elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, so we never forget to always pray for God's will be done. It may be that your suffering for a while may be what you need to attain heaven later on. You know, such as in Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
I love this verse. Look what it
says. Quote: I consider that the sufferings of this present time
on earth
are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us
in heaven.
Quote.
That's the context.
That is beautiful. I consider that the sufferings of this present time
on earth
are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us
in heaven. In other words, pain is just for a little while.
Yeah, just remember, it's temporary. This temporary suffering It's a small portion. It's a grain of sand, our suffering here on earth. And just thinking, just one grain of sand and all those other grain of sands, that's eternity.
That's
just
right.
Think about
yes.
that.
Yes. But just, and now the beautiful
the
thing.
The magnitude of
the
that.
The beautiful
Whoa.
Thing is about what our Catholic faith says
yeah.
is that our suffering, as we offer it up, other people may actually need our suffering
yes.
for their salvation.
For their salvation. Right. That's called redemptive suffering.
Yes.
That's what the Catholic
I suffer.
Church
God takes my suffering and pours it out upon somebody else yes. who's unconverted
yes.
and brings him to Christ, brings him to the kingdom because mm-hmm. I was willing to suffer. That's a powerful form of praying. In fact, there's a Bible verse that actually supports what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. This Bible verse is on Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 24. It says, quote, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking," end quote, "in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church."
Notice here, after all, if you had the choice of either being healed from disease
mm-hmm.
or going straight to heaven when you die, the latter is always
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm.
No one on earth really knows how it works. But if you always pray for God's will to be done, as we say in the Our Father as Catholics, and really mean it, then whatever happens will be for the best in the long run, because we can always trust God to do what is right, even if it causes us pain right now. Our sufferings united to God is efficacious for other people in the mystical body of Christ. That's what Colossians 1:24 yeah. just told us.
Mm-hmm.
Being a follower of Christ is not a spectator sport. It requires your full participation.
That reminds me of something. There's two things I want to share. We're not a spectator sport. In Mass, we should be engaged in the Mass and not sitting there and not praying throughout the Mass. You should pray the Mass.
Pray the Mass.
You should be praying from the time you enter yeah. to the time you leave. There is no excuse. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what calls active participation in Mass, praying the Mass. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm not sure if it's Bishop Sheen, but or I heard it, I don't know where I heard this, but think of all the people in the hospital. How many of us are actually?
Bishop
how many
Sheen
of them are?
That.
Well, how many are actually
offering
their sufferings? They could do so much good. But anyways, we're entering the third, fourth segment, and
we got a special guest.
Special guest, Alvia Escobar. Ora por nobis.
Bright new dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
We are back. Jesus 911.
Lord, come to our assistance. Make haste to help us. We have on the line Alvia Escobar. Alvia,
are you
welcome,
there?
Welcome to Jesus 911.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Alvia is a friend of ours and a beautiful soul. And Alvia, I love to see people that come back to their Catholic faith and they become on fire. Alvia is one of those, a lifelong Catholic, but they had a reconversion back to her faith. Tell us a little bit about that. When did that happen, Alvia?
In 2018, when my husband got really ill, being on prescription opiates for a very long time. And when he was no longer helping him, he got off of them, but it was a very hard journey, and I stayed home to take care of him. And I was home with him for 9 months, and we cried and prayed every single day for him to get better, because these opiates really got him really sick on just a lot of different things besides what it was helping him for. It was no longer helping him. And Jesus, we prayed and cried to Jesus, and he humbled us, and here we are today. We got married in 2018 by the church. We were married we've been married for 39 years, and we just recently got married in 2018 of September by the church.
Alvia, as I hear you, I just think about the Bible. Every time women go up to Jesus and pray and cry, our Lord answers. You use
yes.
that New Testament formula. pray and cry to Jesus.
Yeah, so you had your conversion shortly after, or was it before your husband got sick?
Were you already searching?
Were you already searching? Yeah. Were you already
coming back to the church? How did that happen?
We were lapsed Catholics. We were just going to church when special occasions. And I prayed. I always prayed, but I wasn't going to Mass like I was supposed to. I wasn't worshiping God like I was supposed to. And together, we came together as a husband and wife. And we're here. I mean,
praise God.
My husband is...
He's on board, right?
On board.
That's awesome. So now that you've been practicing your faith, going to Mass, and you've been, I know you've been a really strong witness to family, friends, and really sharing the love of Christ and just putting them, I mean, you were very frank with them. Are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? I know you share a lot of stories with me about that with your family members, but now that you were on this journey of faith, was it a year ago that you had a surprise diagnosis, right?
Yes. July 6th of last year, I was told that I had stage 3 breast lobular cancer, a very aggressive breast cancer.
Yes.
And I had a stage 2 lymph node, and it had already traveled to my liver. So I was a stage 4 cancer patient.
Yes. Okay, so knowing this, how has your faith helped you to cope with this news? Now that you've received this news, how has your faith helped you to just cope with it, to be able to figure out why you were diagnosed or, you know, Lord, what should I do now?
I guess the way I would frame it.
Yeah.
Getting the news that you have cancer with Jesus or without Jesus, has it been easier to take that news knowing that you are in the arms of Jesus every day now? Or would it have been more difficult to get that news knowing that you were apart from Jesus, unconverted, and away from your faith?
I know that when I got the news, I said, Jesus, you know, you're with me. I'm taking this journey with you. You're going to help. I knew he was with me. I knew it. I felt it. I feel him. So I've never been alone. I've through this whole journey, he has been with me. The Blessed Mother Mary has been with me. I would not have been able to handle this without them.
That's the point that I'm getting.
Yeah.
That's your message to anybody that's listening. We're all going to get sick one day. If you get sick, make sure you're wrapped in the arms of Jesus and Mary. That's what I'm hearing you saying, right?
Oh, yes. I definitely was and I am.
Wow, that's wonderful. And that's, I know, and I saw that in you. And you were very always optimistic and very positive. And that has a lot to do with healing, too, because that's our topic today. Our topic is on healing. And that's why we asked you to come on to share about it's a time of healing from the time of your conversion. You were already starting to heal before you even diagnosed, because before you were diagnosed, you were already on your way to healing. And mostly we mentioned this is of the soul. And that's how you started healing, through the soul. The body is going to break down, but we always got to make sure, because our soul is eternal.
So, Elvia, bottom line is your faith gave you the coping mechanism to deal with this journey of cancer, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes. I spread the word to everybody, called everyone, let everyone know that I was sick and to pray for me. And to the power of prayer has been the most amazing thing. I can feel it. I felt it. And also my husband, you know, he's, thank God that, you know, we went through this conversion together, because without him, I need him. I need his support.
Yes.
He's been there for me through this whole walk. Yes.
Yeah. And that makes a difference, because he's a spiritual leader of your home and his prayers are very powerful, Alvia. So that is beautiful that you recognize that you couldn't do it without him. Absolutely. It's all important for those audience. So our next question, would have been different if you had not been back to your Catholic faith? What do you think would have been different? If you weren't a practicing Catholic, you never had your conversion, how do
And you got this news that you had cancer.
I would have cried. I would have asked God, why me?
Fell into despair, probably?
Depression, yes. Yeah. Anxiety. I think I would have made my children crumble. You know, because my children have been very strong with me as well, because they see me strong and my husband strong, and they are, you know, when we talk, we talk, you know, there's no crying, and you know, because their faith, you know, I work with my kids, they work with me, and together we've also made this journey, and they've helped me, I've helped them. But, you know, I wouldn't have been able to make it without Jesus. There's no way.
Amen.
Depressed.
Yes. Alvie, now that you're a serious Catholic and you're a prayer warrior, you live in a state of grace, what stage of your cancer are you at today? What's your diagnosis today with the cancer?
Zero cancer.
Wow.
Say it again. I didn't hear that.
Zero cancer.
So no cancer.
I had a double mastectomy on February 17th. A week later, my doctor, when I went to see him for my post-op, he came in and he just had this look on him. And, it, you know, I wasn't scared about the look. I really didn't know what it was going to be, good or bad. But that I knew that Jesus was with me at that moment. And he told me, Alvia, he said, I don't know what to tell you. So from there, I kind of, it could have been good or bad. And he said, but, you know, there was zero cancer in your breast. He says, there was zero. And he goes, and I expected to see just a little bit. He goes, this is a miracle. He told me, this is a miracle. Wow. And I said, because you know what? I said, doctor, I walk with Jesus every day. I'm here. I'm a testimony for him. And I pray to him and thank him that he's leaving me here as a testimony, because they could have gone either way. I mean, right. I was stage four. So, yeah, there's zero. I had liver radiation, and my CT scan came back on that with zero.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Again, in case people don't realize, Jesus heals people today. Alvie is a living example of that. And Jesus, like it says in Sirach 38, Jesus sometimes uses doctors and medication to heal us as well. But the bottom line, Alvie, we thank the Lord. We give him all the glory that whether it was the doctor or a miracle or the medicine or a combination of all, and the prayers, you're here with us now. And you're a living testimony to the power of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Alvia, thank you so much for your friendship.
And I want to mention something. I know she's a daily devotion. She has a daily devotion to the Most Holy Rosary. Alvia prays the Rosary, her and her husband. You know, I only know this because we've shared, and we've with every step of the way, I know where she's been at. And it's been beautiful to see her faith so strong throughout it, the most trying times and the uncertainty, what's going to happen tomorrow. And she's received this great news, and we give it all to the glory of God. You know, that's why we did this topic on healing, because this is God still heals today, and he's healed you, and he's continued to heal you through your soul. And
yes.
Let's all thank the Lord and just pray the prayer that he taught us and our Father, all of us together, thanking God the Father for healing Alvia Escobar and keeping her here to continue the work of evangelization in her vineyard. And so let's all pray in the name of the Father, Father Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give
us this day our daily bread.
And
forgive us our trespasses.
Forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not,
lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen.
And let's say thank you, Jesus, three times. This is the Philippines say this a lot, so we'll say it three times. Thank you, Jesus.
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 Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The name of Jesus heals all.
Amen. The name of all names.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hope to see you soon, Elvia, you and your husband. God bless you. Thank you for coming on and sharing this praise report.
Thank you for being on the show.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. You've been listening to Jesus 911. Yep. Is Jesus Christ alive? You betcha. Yep. Does he heal people today? You better believe it. Yep. Sometimes he uses doctors and medication, but nonetheless, it's the hand of God that guides them anyhow.
Absolutely.
This is a wrap, Anita.
This is a wrap. We'll see you, St. Didacus, this weekend. St. Didacus Catholic Church.
Sylmar, California.
Tomorrow, all-day conference.
God bless you. Up next, Gary Machuda. Take it away.